this passage this morning, Lord. I pray you just help us to be able to learn from it, Father. And I pray you help us to be able to hear your word. Lord, I ask that you would, at this time, that the Holy Spirit would help me, Lord, as I minister your word, Lord, that we might be able to learn from it, that we might be able to change from it, Lord. Not that another Sunday would go by and we'd just be the same. Just coming to church, leaving the same way we left. Lord, but that we might be different. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Alright, well, we're there in Luke chapter number 5. And this morning, if you look down at verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God." Now, I'm not preaching on that this morning, but that's an impressive phrase there. People were pressing upon him because they were thirsty to hear the word of God. The Bible says he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's walking by the lake there. People are pressing upon him. They want to hear the word of God. Look at verse 2. "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Now here's what you're going to understand. That Simon there is Simon Peter. You might know him as the Apostle Peter. And this story here that we're studying in Luke chapter 5 is the story of when the Lord Jesus Christ called the Apostle Peter into the ministry of the gospel there. And we've all heard of the Apostle Peter, I'm sure. And you know that he's a great man of God. And this is a story of when he was called into that apostleship. Now, what you need to understand is that Simon was a fisherman. Look at verse 2 again. "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little into the land. And he sat down and taught the people on the ship." So as he's passing by the lake, he sees these ships there. He sees these fishermen. They're washing their nets. They're getting ready to go home. They're done for the day. And there's this huge multitude of people following Jesus, pressing upon him. They want to hear him preach. They want to hear him speak. They want to hear the word of God. So Jesus says to Simon, he says, "Hey, can I use your ship there?" He says, he would thrust out a little from the land. And what Jesus was doing is because the people, they were on a lake shore there, and there was tons of people on the shore, and he wanted to be able to speak to them. So he says, "Hey, Peter, I'd like to," or Simon at this point, Simon Peter, he says, "I'd like to use your ship." And he gets on his ship, and he just comes off a little bit into the water, so that he kind of set himself up as a little natural auditorium there, so he can speak to all the people. Do you understand what he's doing? He goes off the water, and you know that water, if you speak across a body of water, the water will actually carry your voice very nicely there. So he was using that, and they were just having a preaching service at this point. He said, can you thrust out a little into the water? He sits there on the ship, and he begins to expound, he begins to preach, he begins to teach those people, because they're interested in hearing his word. Now look at verse 4. "Now when he had left speaking," so he's done with his lesson, he's done with his sermon, the service is over, "he said unto Simon," now I want you to understand this, the service is over, but now he turns his attention, the Lord Jesus Christ, turns his attention to Simon, and he begins to work or deal with Simon, who we know is Peter, even in the story referred to as Simon Peter. And I just want to give you 3 points this morning in regards to when the Lord Jesus Christ called the Apostle Peter into the ministry. Point number one, I'd like you to notice the request that the Lord Jesus Christ made. The request that the Lord Jesus Christ made. If you look at verse 4, it says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep." He says, they were already a little ways off the water. Remember that? He said, "Hey, can you go a little out of the land?" But now he says, "I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought." Now I want you to notice, the Lord Jesus Christ looks at Simon and he makes a request. Now here's what you need to understand. He asks him to do something. The timing of the request was not very good. Look at the response. Look at verse 5. "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night long." You know what he's saying? He's saying, we have toiled all the night. He's saying, Master, we've been working all night. It's morning now. It's daytime now. He said, you don't understand. We're not starting our day. We're finishing the day. He said, we've been working all night. We've been fishing all night long. He said, we're tired. He said, you're asking us to go back. I'm not trying to go back into the deep. I'm trying to go back home. I'm trying to get to bed. You understand? I got to be back at work tonight. I'm a fisherman. We fish at night. He said, I'm tired right now. The request. Jesus asked a request. He says, launch out into the deep. But the timing of the request was not very good for Peter. Why? Because he was tired. He said, we have toiled all night long. Not only was he tired, Peter was discouraged. Look at verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. He says, I'm tired. But not only that, notice what he says, and have taken nothing. He says, not only have I been working all night long, trying to catch fish, he said, tonight was not a very good night. We didn't catch anything. He said, you're asking me to launch out into the deep. He says, I just got off of work. I stayed for the church service. That's what he's saying. I listened to you speak. I listened to you preach. I'm getting ready. I want to put these nets away. I want to go home, get some sleep. And he says, launch out into the deep. And he's saying, look, I'm tired. He said, not only am I tired, he said, I'm a little discouraged. We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We've already been out there 12 hours tonight. And we didn't catch anything. Not only was he tired, not only was he discouraged, but I want you to notice, he was also busy. It was very inconvenient. Look at verse 2 again. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen, now the fishermen we know, Peter's one of them, were gone out of them and were washing their nets. You see that? And I want you to remember that. These men had the trade of fishing. Now they don't fish like you and I fish, you know, with your little rod out there and you're fishing, okay? These were professional fishermen. They were catching fish with nets. And they would use these nets to catch a great supply of fish. And as they would use them all night long, the nets would get dirty. They'd get things stuck in them. So what they had to do before they went home was wash their nets. Now they're in the middle of washing their nets. As Jesus shows up and starts having a preaching service, if they kept working while they were listening, they're probably done. They're getting ready to put these away. And he says, hey, launch out into the deep. He's like, I'm in the middle of washing these. I don't want to get them dirty again. I just spent an hour washing them. You understand what he's saying? Saying, Jesus, the request that you're requesting, the timing is not very good because I'm tired. He said, the timing's not very good. I'm discouraged. He says, the timing is not very good. It's very inconvenient. I'm busy. I'm washing the nets. Now, keep your finger there in Luke 5. Go to Acts real quickly. You're there in Luke, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then you got the book of John. Right after the book of John, you got the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 24. And I want you to understand something about the calling or the request of God. Acts chapter number 24. In Acts 24, we find the story, and we're going to go back to Luke. That's our text for this morning. But I want you to notice something here. In Acts 24, you find the story of the Apostle Paul. He's been imprisoned, and he's had the opportunity of coming before different people. And he's supposed to be telling them his defense, but he uses it as an opportunity to preach the gospel. And if you look at Acts chapter 24, look at verse number 24. Acts 24, verse 24. The Bible says, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So Felix was a ruler there. Paul is a prisoner. Felix shows up with his wife, and the Bible says he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So he says, Paul, why don't you come over here and you tell me, what do they have you arrested for? What is this all about, this Jesus Christ and this faith stuff you preach? Look at verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Paul gets up and he says, you want me to preach to you about Jesus? He says, I don't have any problem with that. This is the same guy that said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And Paul says, sure, let me tell you all about it. And he begins, I'm sure, to tell him his testimony, tell him about salvation, tell him that he's a sinner, that he deserves to go to hell, but Jesus loved him and he died on the cross for his sin. Explaining all those things to him. Look what it says, look at verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix, notice, trembled. Felix got this. Felix understood this. The Bible says Felix trembled. Have you ever seen a man tremble? Have you ever trembled? You know what I'm talking about? Being so afraid of something, being so scared that you literally can't. That's what Felix was. As Paul was preaching, Felix was shaking. Isn't that interesting? This is a grown man. Not only is this a grown man, this is a ruler. You understand what I'm saying? This is a man with power. And as Paul, a prisoner, is preaching to him, he begins to tremble. Look what it says. Felix trembled and answered. Notice what he says. Go thy way for this time. Notice what he says. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Isn't that interesting? Felix understood what Paul was saying. Felix obviously got what he was saying. He was trembling. But he said, you know what, Paul? Right now, it's not real convenient for me. You know what, Paul? I'll call you in a convenient season. Now, here's what you got to understand. The calling of God is always at an inconvenient time. The calling, you say, sometimes people say to me, Pastor, you don't understand. Sometimes we go out soul winning, we knock on doors, we preach to people the gospel. And they'll say, I understand what you're saying. I comprehend what you're saying. But I'm not ready to get saved right now. You know, I'll get saved another time. You know what they're saying? At a convenient season, I'll call for thee. But you know what? It'll never be a convenient season. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. And people say, well, I'm not ready right now. You don't understand, I'm busy right now. You don't understand, I'm tired right now. You don't understand, I'm discouraged right now. Let me tell you something. The calling of God will never, you say, people say, Pastor, you understand, I'm going to get baptized one of these days, but I'm just going to wait until a more convenient season. There will never be a convenient season to get baptized. They'll never, you say, I'm going to wait till you get a heater for the baptistry. We're probably never going to get a heater. We just want you to feel like, when we baptize you, we just want you to feel like you're getting baptized at Jordan River itself. Cold. Pastor, you understand? People say, well, I'm going to go soul winning one of these days. I'm just waiting for it to be a little more convenient. It's never going to be convenient. It's always going to be scary. It's always going to be hard. People say, well, you don't understand. What do you say? I'm going to read my Bible. I'm just waiting for a convenient people. Hey, how many of you that read your 9 chapters a day this month? You're finishing the New Testament? How many of you were just sitting around one day and thought, man, you know what? I got nothing to do. I got nowhere to go. I'm just going to sit down and read 10 chapters of the Bible today. Who said that? If you read 9 chapters a day, you probably purposed in your heart to read 9 chapters a day. If you read the Word of God, you probably made a decision. I'm going to read today. It's going to be a priority. I got behind yesterday. I'm already used to my grace periods. You know what I'm talking about? It's never convenient to serve God. People say, Pastor, one of these days, I'm going to start tithing. But you don't understand, my finances are messed up right now. I'm just waiting till I get a raise, and I'm just waiting till I do this, and I'm just waiting till I do that. And one of these days, I'm going to start giving financially to God and to the ministry. But right now, it's just not very convenient. Let me tell you something, it's never going to be convenient. You're never just going to have loads and loads of cash just sitting around. You don't understand, Pastor, I just had all this money. I had nothing to do with it. Really? If you ever come to the place where you just have tons of money and don't know what to do with it, let me tell you something. Just speaking of knowing human beings, we'll probably never see you again until the money runs out. It's funny how people usually come to church when they're broke. It's funny how people usually come back to church when they come to the end of themselves. So you say, well, I'm just waiting for a convenient season. I'm just waiting for it. You understand, Jesus? I want to serve you, Jesus. I'm just a little tired right now. You'll always be tired. I'm just a little discouraged right now. You'll always be discouraged. It's just not convenient right now. I'm busy. You're always going to be busy. See, when the request of Christ came, it came at the right time for Peter. But Peter had all these excuses. He said, the timing's not very good, Jesus. Not only was the timing not good, go back there to Luke 5. The timing wasn't good, but the distance of the request was a little too hard also. Are you there in Luke 5? Look at verse 3 again. And he entered into one of the ships. This is when he began. Which was Simon's, and prayed. That word prayed means he asked him. And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Now notice, I want you to notice this. When Jesus asked Simon to thrust out a little from the land, Simon says, no problem, Jesus. You want me to thrust out a little? I'll thrust out a little. You need to use this ship as a platform so you can preach? Sure, I'll help you. He said, no problem, we'll do that. Look what it says, look at verse 3. He prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. We actually don't even see Peter's response. All we see is Jesus say, hey, will you thrust out a little? And the next phrase, Jesus is teaching the people. No problem. Yes, sir. Thrust out a little. No problem. Now look at verse 4. That was the first request. The first request was thrust out a little. Okay, Jesus, no problem. Verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, here's the second request, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Now here's what's interesting. Jesus says, I need you to go out a little bit, no problem. He says, I need you to go out further into the deep, and he begins to protest. See, Peter is a lot like you and I. You know, you and I will say, Jesus wants me to do what? Go to church on Sunday morning? Sure, I'll go to church on Sunday morning. See, a lot of times we don't have an issue serving Jesus as long as we only have to do a little bit. You want me to thrust out a little? Sure, I'll thrust out a little. No, now I want you to go out into the deep. Well, I don't know about that. I can thrust out a little bit as long as I know I can get back quickly. That's how you and I are spiritually. You want me to do what, Jesus? Well, as long as I can get back quickly. As long as I can be done quickly. As long as I don't invest a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. Launch out into the deep. That's a commitment I'm not willing to make, Jesus. You don't understand. I'm tired. I'm discouraged. I'm busy. See, when Jesus asks you to do a little, a lot of us say, sure, Jesus, I'll do a little. But when He asks for a lot, that's when we start putting excuses up. See, some of you need to stop being involved in the ministry of Christ a little. And need to start getting involved in the ministry of Christ a lot. Some of you have been playing in the shallow water, and that's fine. It's good to start in the shallow water. But every once in a while, God says, hey, can you launch out into the deep? Can you go out further? Can you stretch yourself a little bit? Can you do a little more? I'm glad you've been reading the Proverb of Day. And if you've never read your Bible before, you ought to start reading the Proverb of Day. But every once in a while, you ought to say, you know, I'm going to start reading 9 chapters a day. That's a little harder. It's a little deeper. I've been coming to church on Sunday mornings. Maybe you ought to throw in there a Wednesday night. I don't know. I'm willing to go in a little, but I don't want to go that deep. I don't want people to think I'm weird. I don't want them to think I'm a fanatic. You don't mind if they think you're a fanatic over the Super Bowl, but you don't want them to think you're a fanatic over the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I'm off the deep end on this with sports, or this with hunting, or this with guns, or this with fire. I'm like, hey, that's fine. Be off the deep end with guns. I like to know people that have guns. It makes me feel safe. You know what I mean? You start preaching the way I do, it's nice to have people around you that got some guns. And you ought to be fanatic, and you ought to be excited, but why do we get excited about everything else, but we don't get excited about Jesus? Peter says, I'll go out into the deep if I'm going to make money, but Jesus, you're asking me to go out into the deep? No, it's kind of tough. Not a good time right now. The distance of the request was a problem. Some of you ought to get more involved in church. Some of you ought to get more involved in church. You know, we started this church just a little bit over 2 years ago. We started in our living room. My wife and I had the first service. We had a handful of people there. Some of you were there when we started the first service. Handful of people. And in the 2 years, God has blessed us. We've been able to walk out. We rent a building. You say, this building isn't much. Man, this is like a mansion to us compared to the living room. Got this building, and we're filling it, and people are coming, and praise the Lord for it. But you know what? If the church will continue to grow, we're going to need more people to step up and say, hey, I'm willing to help. Hey, I'm willing to work. Hey, I'm willing to sacrifice. Hey, there's always things to do around here. There's always trash to pick up. Amen? There's always something to do. You know, our church, something our church prides itself on is we go out and we pick people up for church. And you know, let me just say this. I'm not saying this please understand my spirit. I'm not saying this in the wrong spirit. I'm not saying this to lift anybody up. But you know, let me say this. Brother Ron drives our van, and he's faithful with it. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, goes out, picks people up at church. You know, it might be nice for some of you that got driver's license to step in and say, hey, Brother Ron, I'll take a Wednesday night for you. Give you a break. I've been playing here in the shadow. Let me get down in the deep a little bit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Might be good for some of you to say, hey, I'll take a Sunday night. Might be good for you. Some of you say, hey, Pastor, hey, I've got a vehicle. Let me make myself available. Anybody ever needs a ride? You know a lot of people need rides to church? And we want to bring them to church. We just read there in Luke. They brought the man with palsy in the bed. Hey, don't have an excuse. You say, well, I could bring. I know a lot of people that come to church, but they need a ride. Hey, if they want to come, we want to get them here. But some of you ought to step up and say, hey, Pastor, you need help with something? I can pick people up. Just count on me. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you can say, hey, Pastor, you know, I noticed we used to videotape the sermons. We don't videotape anymore. I'm good with cameras. I'm good with the internet. Hey, I'll take on that ministry. Hey, Pastor, I'm not trying to be rude, but I've noticed that there hasn't been any CDs out there in the last 8 months. You notice that? By the way, that's my fault. A couple nights ago, I went through and I said, man, I told my wife, I said, man, I really got to get these sermons posted. I actually get emails from people saying, is your church still alive? You know, because people listen to the sermons online. They're like, we've noticed you haven't posted any sermons in 8 months. I've been real busy. I went through and I got all the audio files off the little recorder and I put them on the thing. We had like 7 months worth of sermons that needed to be posted. I said to my wife, I'm almost tempted to just highlight all of these right now and just delete them right now. Just be done with it. Because, you know, and I sometimes people ask me about the sermons. And let me explain something to you. Okay? I only have 24 hours a day, and I'm not complaining. But, you know, I work a full-time job and do this. I've got a family. Sometimes I get busy. And sometimes if it comes to studying for a sermon or posting a sermon, you know, I got to give priority to the things of God. Do you understand that? But there may be some of you say, hey, Pastor, you know what? I'm actually pretty good with a computer. I know how to do that. I can take that off your shoulders. Hey, that'd be nice. All I'm saying is that sometimes you need to make a choice to say, I'm going to launch out a little deeper. I'm going to get a little more involved. I'm going to get a little more committed. It might take more energy. It might take more time. It might be a little inconvenient. But when the request of Christ comes, you got to answer it. When He says, hey, I want you to get involved. And I'm thankful for it. We have so many people here that do so many things around here. And I praise the Lord for it. I'm amazed that there are people, we've asked them to do things. They've taken on that ministry and done better with it than I ever would have done or expected. I thank God for it. But if we're going to continue to, you say, well, you're just interested in the church growing. Hey, if you're going to continue in, to grow in your spiritual life, you've got to understand that at some point, you can't just be always taken in. You got to start ministering to others. Loving others. Say, well, what can I do? We can always use more soul winners. We can always use more people preaching the gospel. We can always use... You say, all I'm trying to say to you is every once in a while you've got to make the decision that I'm going to launch out into deep a little bit. The distance of the request was a problem. Not only was the distance of the request, let me tell you something. The logic was an issue. Notice, you're there in Luke 5? Look at verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. Now here's what you need to understand. Simon was a professional fisherman. Simon was the expert when it came to fishing. Not Jesus. Jesus was a full-time preacher. Jesus was the, as they believe, the son of a carpenter. Jesus didn't have experience with fishing. Simon was the expert. Peter was the expert. Now we're told that when it comes to fishing, the best way to go fishing in this time frame, how they did it, or even today, I'm sure, the best, when they went fishing on this lake here, they understood that the best time to go fishing was at night when the sun wasn't out in shallow waters. That was how you did it. Jesus comes along and says, I know you normally fish at night, and that's why you've been fishing all night long. And I know you normally fish in shallow waters, but I'm gonna ask you to go fishing during the day, out in the deep. And Peter was thinking, that's never going to work. We've been out all night in the shallow waters, didn't catch anything. You think we're going to catch something when we're doing it the way we're not supposed to be doing it? Here's what you need to understand. Sometimes the request of God make no sense. Sometimes God comes in your life and He says, hey, I need you to do something for me. And you say, that doesn't make any sense. That's not logical. I'm the expert. I understand. You want me to do what with my children? But I read this book. Dr. Spock said that you're supposed to. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the expert in every area of life. Jesus is the expert in every area of life. The Bible is the expert in every area of life. Jesus says, launch out into the deep. You might do well to launch out into the deep. But that's never going to work. It doesn't matter if it'll work if Jesus said it. See, the distance of the request, the timing of the request, the logic of the request wasn't very good. Jesus made a request, launch out into the deep. But I want you to notice the response. The response. Look at verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. But notice what he says. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. The response was, I don't think this is going to work. I don't really see the point in doing this. But okay, at your word, Jesus, I'll do it. See, Peter was obedient. Now, here's what you're going to understand. Even though it was a reluctant obedience, he says, nevertheless, at thy word. He says, I don't think it's a good idea. I'm kind of tired. I'm not really into it. But if you want me to do it, okay, I'll do it. Now, here's what you need to understand. It is better to obey reluctantly than to not obey at all. You're there in Luke? Real quickly, go to Matthew. Matthew, first book in the New Testament. Let me show you a parable in regards to this. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Look at verse 28. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 28. Matthew chapter 21 and look at verse number 8. The Bible says in Matthew 21, verse number 28, Jesus is speaking, he says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went." So a man comes to the son, he says, "I want you to go work in my vineyard." He says, "I'm not going to work in your vineyard." Then he felt bad, he said, "Okay, I'll go." He repented and he went. Look at verse 30. "And he came to the second and said likewise." So he came to the second and said the same thing. "And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not." Look at verse 31. "Whether of them twain did the will of his father?" They say unto him, "The first." Jesus saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." He said, Jesus said, let me tell you a parable. A man comes to two of his sons. He says to both of them, "I want you to go work in the vineyard." One says, "I'm not going to go," but later he repents and goes. The other one says, "I go, sir. Yes, sir, right now." And they never go. And he said, the one that did the will of the Father was the one that actually went. He said, "I'm reluctant to go out into the deep. I'm reluctant to let down the net. I'm reluctant to serve Jesus Christ." Let me tell you something. I'd rather you obey reluctantly than not obey at all. Now, it'd be best to say, "I go, sir," and then go do it. It'd be best to just say, "I'm with you, Jesus," and then just do it. That'd be the best thing. But you say, "Well, I don't know about this. I don't think it's going to work. I don't know about this Bible reading. I don't know about this going to church more than once a week. That seems kind of weird. I don't know about this, you know, loving my wife or loving my husband. I don't know about this, my children and raising them the way the Bible says. Spanking? The Bible talks about spanking. Good night. I don't know about this. It's kind of weird." Hey, that's okay. You can have those feelings as long as you obey His word. Peter said, "Nevertheless, at thy work." You understand that? Go back to Luke 5. The response of Peter's obedience, even though it was reluctant, was better to obey reluctantly than to not obey at all. But I want you to notice something. Not only was his obedience reluctant, his obedience was partial. Look at verse 4 again. "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your,'" I want you to make a note of this, "'let down your nets.'" Do you see that? Do you see the S at the end of the word net there? He said, "Let down your nets," plural, "for a drought." "And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.'" Singular. Do you see that? Jesus did not say, "Let down the net," singular. He said, "I want you to let down the nets," plural.
All of them.
Peter says, "You know what? I'm going to go ahead and listen. But we've already washed some of them. We've already got some of them put away. I'll let down a net," Jesus, partial obedience. Notice what happened, verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net," singular, "break." See, Jesus said, "Let down the nets." They said, "We'll let down a net." And Jesus thinking to himself, "That's not enough. You don't understand what I've got in store for you. You don't understand what I've got ready for you. You don't understand what I'm preparing for you. I'm telling you, you're going to need nets." Peter says, "I'll let down a net." And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Isn't that amazing? They get two ships full of fish. They got so much fish. The ship begins to sink. I'm sure they're thinking to themselves, "What a good night. What's going on here? We got to get this to land. We got to get these fish up. We're going to lose." I'm sure the fish were like, "Yeah, sink. We'll be free." But you know, they would have never had this problem. You know that most of the problems we have in life are because we either don't obey or we partially obey what Jesus says. He says, let down the nets," and you say, "Well, I'll compromise. I'll let down a net." And then the net breaks. And then you're stressed out. And then you've got to call someone to help you. And then you say, "Well, I don't understand why this is happening." You'd understand that it would have been fine if you would have just listened to what he said. Yes. Partial obedience is disobedience. We ought to obey. When you read your Bible and it says, you need to do this, just do it. Don't argue. Don't complain. Don't try to compromise with God. Well, God, I'll do this. You know, you can have my Sundays as long as I get the Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And you get... Hey, don't compromise with God. Just do what He said. Your life will be better off because of it. He said, let down the net. And because he didn't obey, the net broke. Number three. We said, number one, I wanted you to see the request. Number two, I wanted you to see the response. Number three, I want you to see the result. This is the last point. And the result. Look at verse 8. Oh, look at verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. See, what you need to understand is this. The result of this whole little scenario here was that Peter saw himself in the right perspective. That word perspective means a view of things in their time, relationship, or relative to importance. See, you see the attitude of Peter change, don't you? Jesus says, launch out into the deep. And you can almost feel Peter as you read his response. You can almost just see him rolling his eyes. Right. Launch out into the deep. Why is this carpenter telling the professional fisherman what to do? Okay. Let down a net. Just a net. It's fine. Let's just humor him. Let down a net. It's fine. You understand? Now, Jesus says, depart from me. I mean, Peter says, depart from me. He said, I am a sinful man. You know what he understood? He understood, I'm not dealing with the man. I am dealing with God, Almighty God. Amen. When he saw himself in the right... See, before, he saw himself almost as an equal. Jesus, I understand you're a preacher. I understand you're the pastor. I get it. You know, launch out a little. I'll launch out a little. That's fine. You know, have a church service. We'll have a church service. But don't get in my life. Don't try to tell me what to do, Jesus. But now, his attitude is, wow. Look at verse 8 again. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. He should have fell down at Jesus' knees when Jesus first walked up to him. Saying, depart from me. He's like, I'm not even worthy for you to talk to me. I'm not even worthy for you to even tell me to launch into the deep. I'm not even worth that. He said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter saw himself in the right perspective. Not only that, but Peter now saw his work, his life, in the right perspective. Look at verse 10. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth, notice this, thou shalt catch more fish. Is that what he says? Yes. He says, thou shalt catch men. See, when Peter responded to Jesus' request, the result was that Peter now saw things at eternal value. He began to realize, this thing that I toiled for all night long, this thing that I worked for all night long, this thing that I did, these fishes, it's nothing. It's really something to catch men. See, the terminology there is that he said, Peter, what Jesus was saying to Peter is, Peter, you're no longer going to be a fisherman. He said, from now on, you're going to preach my word. From now on, you're not going to catch fish. From now on, you're going to go out and you're going to catch men and bring them to Christ and preach them the gospel. And what Peter was understanding was this. And look, I'm not using pastor. You're saying I ought to quit my job. I'm not saying that at all. I understand we need to work jobs and we need to provide for our families. I get that. But what you need to understand is this, that the almighty dollar is not your God. The things of this world and the temporal things of this world, and many of us worship our houses and worship our cars and worship our jobs and worship our 401k. And look, I'm all poor. I hope everybody has a nice house. And I would to God that everybody had a nice vehicle. And I hope all of you have a lot of money in your 401k and make a lot of money and do great things. But let me tell you something. That ought not be the prime objective of your life. Here's what you need to understand. When Peter had the worst night of his life, Jesus said, all I want for you is to obey. And when Peter had the greatest catch of his life, Jesus said, I want you to forsake it all. What? I just made the most money I've ever made, Jesus. I just got the biggest catch I've ever caught, Jesus. He said, okay, now what I want you to do is forsake it. I want you to leave it. He said, I got better things for you. You're going to catch men. Isn't that interesting? Jesus wants you to forsake all. At the worst time, when you have toiled all the night, He wants you to obey. At the best time, when you have brought in the greatest catch of your life, He wants you to forsake. He wants you to follow Him. Look at it again. Luke 5:11. And when they had brought their ships to land, filled with fish, filled with money, they forsook all and followed Him. Isn't that interesting? They left out the most money they'd ever made was in those two ships. And He said, I don't need all this. He said, I'm going to follow Him. Please understand this. You're there in Luke 5. Go to Luke 14 real quickly. See, some of you this morning need to make the decision, I'm forsaking all and following Christ. Say, well, Pastor, I come to church every Sunday morning. Amen. I'm glad for that. Pastor, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm in this church. Hey, I'm all for that. And I'm glad for you. But let me tell you something. In our lives, we must get to the place where we say, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Hey, I understand I've got to work. I understand I've got to do things. I get all that. But my life from now on is going to be all about Christ. Forsaking all. Bible says they forsook all and followed Him. Are you there in Luke 14? Look what it says. Luke 14, look at verse 33. This is what Jesus said. Luke 14, verse 33. So likewise, Luke 14:33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I want to be a disciple of Christ. I want to be a follower of God. Okay, forsake everything. Well, I don't know about that. You can't be a disciple of Christ. See, there are some of you here this morning that just need to make the decision. You know what? I'm not going to put anything before God anymore. I'm not going to put things before Christ, work before Christ, loved ones before Christ. Hey, everything in my life, the Bible says that in all things, He should have the preeminence. I'm just trying to say, if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, which by the way, when you got saved, God wants you to be a disciple. If you're going to be a disciple, you're going to have to make the choice. I'm forsaking all. I'm trusting Him. I'm forsaking all. I'm following Him. I'm forsaking all. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And if you don't forsake Him, you cannot be His disciple. It's that easy. That's it. That's the choice. Not only that, forsake means to renounce, to turn away from entirely. He wanted them to forsake, but not for the sake of forsaking. He said, I want you to forsake and follow Him. Now go to Matthew chapter 4. This is the last phrase we'll go to. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. This is the last verse we'll go to. In Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4 is a parallel passage to Luke chapter 5. Those of you who have been reading the New Testament during the month, you may have realized Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a lot of them have different details, as we'll see in a minute. But they also have what are called parallel passages, where they'll talk about the same story. Now in Matthew chapter 4, you have a parallel passage to Luke chapter 5. Again, when Jesus called Simon into the ministry. But here's what you need to understand. You get totally different details. Look at verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren. So in Matthew, we're told there was two brethren. And Luke, we're told it was just Simon. But now we know it's not just Simon. He called two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother. So we know that Andrew was in that mix as well. Casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now here's what's interesting, okay? Matthew just tells you, yeah, they were casting a net into the fisher. Luke tells you, no, they weren't just casting a net into the fish. Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, and they only let one net. Let me tell you all about the story. Do you understand that? You say, well, is there a mistake? There's no mistake there. God just wants you to read the entire Bible. You read Matthew, you get certain details. You read Mark, you get certain details. You read Luke, you get certain details. You get to know the whole thing, reading all of it. But it's interesting, look at verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 18 again. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now notice this, verse 20. And they straightway
way. Do you see that?
You know what the word straight way means?
It means immediately.
Notice what it says. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now here's where we get a little more insight into the story. Look at verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. Remember, they were the ones that were in the other ship. In a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. Okay? Mending their nets means they were repairing their nets. Why were they repairing their nets? Well, they just brought in so many fish that the ship began to sink. Do you understand? Their nets probably got ruined. I'm sure James and John are probably sitting there as they're mending their nets thinking, Peter better cut us in on this. Man, our nets got ruined with all those fish. And Jesus walks up and says, look what it says, verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Look at verse 22. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Say, Jesus wants me to forsake all and follow him. I'll do it next week. No, he wants it immediately. I'll do it in a convenient season. No, straight way. Right now. Say, well, when should I serve God? Right now. When should I give up? Right now. When should I forsake? Right now. He wants it now. See, it's interesting because these four men are probably of all the apostles, are probably the best known apostles. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. The Bible tells us of these apostles in the book of Acts that these 12 men turned the world upside down. And you need to understand, you say, well, why is it that God used these men so powerfully? It's probably because when he called, they listened, and they did it immediately. God is no respecter of persons. You know that God wants to use you as much as he used Peter? You know that God wants to use you as much as he used John and James and Andrew and Paul? God wants to use me as much as he used... God, the Bible says, there is no respect of persons with God. God didn't look at Peter and say, well, you're better than all these other people, so I'm going to use you. God says, I'm willing to choose anyone. I'm willing to use anyone. I'm willing to empower anyone. But not everybody's willing to be used. He says, launch out into the deep. And that's what he says to you this morning. He says to you, launch out into the deep. And when he puts it as a request, the rest of your life is dependent on your next response. Will you straightway forsake all and follow him? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you all so much. Thank you for our church. Lord, I do thank you for a place that the word of God is still being preached. And Lord, I pray that you would not allow this sermon to fall on deaf ears, but that all of us, starting from right here, would decide, I need to follow Christ. I need to follow him. I need to forsake all. Father, we love you. Thank you for those who are here this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit would use the words preached this morning to speak to their hearts. In your precious name, I pray.